Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're going to talk now with Beth McDonald of Beth McDonald Consulting. You can reach her at her website, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, on Facebook at Beth McDonald Consulting, on LinkedIn, and you can also reach her by calling 963-0842. That's area code 805-963-0842. Beth, welcome back. It's February. We just transitioned another year, another month. Well, of course, we've been talking in January, but again, time just keeps moving and moving. And now we're on the cusp, if you will, almost on the cusp from Aquarius, actually into from Aquarius into Pisces. And I made the mistake last year, and I don't know why this sticks in my head, that I kept thinking that it was a water sign, and it's not a water sign. Aquarius, that is.
Aquarius is one of the biggest misconceptions in the zodiac. Everybody thinks because the constellation is the water bearer that it is a water sign, and it's absolutely not a water sign. It's an air sign.
Yeah.
And the trick I give people to tell them to help them remember that is Aquarius is the water bearer, and water is the sign for emotions. And the bearer of water, the container for emotions, is the mind. And the mind is the mental, the air signs. And so Aquarius is ideally the air sign that is particularly tasked with helping you be more logical, more rational, and less emotional. It's really the one air sign that has a very extraordinary focus on staying in charge of your emotions so you can solve problems, because the emotions are what get in the way, right?
It is indeed, and that's one of the interesting aspects of just being human is our emotions.
Yeah.
That
right.
Sometimes they do facilitate good things, but boy, and it's not like we want to be emotionless.
Right. It's not like we want to be Spock from Star Trek.
Exactly.
You know? We do, but we could. You know what I always tell people is when there's a lot of Aquarius going on, it's a learning lab for being at least a little more Spock-like, so that you can learn more in these moments, especially now, especially after the week we've had, where we've had this big, gorgeous full moon that kind of makes your emotions more inflamed, and a Mercury retrograde. This is the perfect learning lab for, okay, I just figured out where my emotions are out of control. And how I need to shift some things so that I can be more happy and successful in my life. How do I take control of myself?
And that process
is a long one.
Okay, that is true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree.
In a nutshell, yeah.
In a nutshell, it is a long one. But yeah. I know that because we tend to... honestly, we tend to think about this stuff more than we really should. And when I say that, because we dwell on it, we worry about it, we put so much energy into it that it becomes daunting. And then, and in some instances, some folks, they just kind of give up. So I just can't. Because you really need to be aware and conscious and in the present moment in order to work on this stuff.
You do. And then there's another factor. This has been part of the human condition as long as we can tell, you know, as far as since man walked upright, you know. And so I think we underestimate how complicated a process this is. And I think, again, a lot of people do give up. They get depressed. They get despairing. It's more than a full-time job. It's a lot of hard work. And a lot of people do give up. And or turn to other substances, you know, drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, you know, any of the societally acceptable entheogens, you know, things that substitute for that more natural bliss state that comes from being connected to God. You know?
And by the way, you just did something that I love that my guests and folks who are on the program do. Use words I've never heard of before, but when I hear them, I don't know how it is I'm able to figure out.
You know exactly what it is.
What the heck?
Entheogens.
Exactly. A great word.
Substance that the substances we use and the activities we use to try to get closer to God when we can't get there on our own.
And I was discussing that very subject in terms of that whole process of, again, trying to get closer to God, and how we use all of those things, and yet everything that we read, or especially if we're on some kind of path, I'll say, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
We will seek out from external sources that path to God.
Right.
And yet everything that we end up reading or people we contact always tell us, oh no, you got to go within. It's like,
yeah, yeah. Well, and it is rats. Kind of dancing back and forth over the fence, you know.
Yeah, it is.
You go within for a while, you go outside for a while. Yeah. You go within for a while and you go outside. And so,
but the big key is be kind to yourself in these processes. I think that's the other thing as well, is we're always looking for, I don't know, perfection. You know, when people talk about meditation, for example, you know, I can't meditate because, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go and so on and so forth. And I have all these thoughts, and it's like, well, good. Then you're right with everybody else. You know?
It is called a discipline for just that reason.
Yes.
Meditation is a discipline. It's a practice. And there's so many different kinds of meditation.
Yeah.
People don't realize that in the beginning. And sometimes it takes a while to find the method that works best for you, that's right for you. But just keep trying. Don't give up.
Absolutely. And don't give up getting a hold of Beth McDonald at BethMcDonaldConsulting.com. Beth, we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.